Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Our sermon topic this morning is God's Tradition based on Mark chapter 7 verses 14 through 23. And we'd wish to have a thank you to Kevin and Brenda Wolf, who are celebrating their 39th anniversary by sponsoring our radio broadcast. The many blessings received. Mrs. Beverly Haspring is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer. We invite you to join us as we sing our first hymn this morning, hymn number 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. That's hymn number 684.
We meet this morning for worship to bring our sins to God and hear his good word of forgiveness about Jesus Christ, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper this day as well. In our prayers today, we remember the congregation as we have a council meeting on Tuesday, and our voters meeting will be next Sunday after church. We hope you'll plan to stay for that, to take care of the business of the congregation. We also offer a prayer of thanksgiving along with Kevin and Brenda Wolf as they celebrate a 39th anniversary. And in our prayers, we include Don and Beverly Borgeson. She is a sister to John Dorman, and they lost a son this last week, and we pray for them as they go through this time. And we also remember those who are going through health issues, Nancy McCage and Norma Glesky. With that now, we turn to God on this Labor Day weekend. We thank God for our work and for our rest, and we worship Him with the order of service on page 184. We confess our sins together and hear God's good word of forgiveness as we stand to begin our worship on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now gladly and joyfully enter worship with God. We do that with the words of our psalm this day. We read the psalm together. It's Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. The psalms are all found in the front of our hymnal. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We join together now in singing the Gloria Patri, the Kyrie, and the Gloria in Excelsis on page 186.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. We bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, as once you shared in our human toil and thus hallowed the work of our hands, bless and prosper those who maintain the industries and service work of this land. Give them and give us a right regard for our labors. Grant us just reward for our work, that we might find joy in serving you and supplying our needs. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Turn our attention to God's Word, to the Old Testament reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where the Old Testament people who were wandering in the desert after being set free from Egypt and on their way to the Promised Land were told by God this: "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people, who, when they hear these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 6. He writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, make supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We stand for our Alleluia verse. Our gospel is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Jesus called the people to him and said to them, "Hear me, all of you. And understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. When he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and then is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean.' And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And this is the gospel of our Lord. We join together now in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we join together now in singing our next hymn. We sing hymn number 685. You may be seated. We bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father, you've given us history and tradition to remind generations of your love for us and the important things you want for our life. But we often forget why you want us to follow your commandments and to worship you. So remind us this day that everything we do according to your will is done to hold up Jesus Christ above our sin and shortcomings, to honor him with our lips and our hearts, and to celebrate the life that we have in him. Let this be our thanksgiving to you. Amen. In Mark chapter 7, we just read Jesus' words to his disciples. We heard that in the gospel lesson, and he was trying to explain something to them, and the disciples didn't get it. And Jesus had to go on and explain them a little bit more. But I'm going to go back and talk about what precipitated this conversation. We read this from Mark chapter 7 in the verses leading up to the gospel lesson. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They saw some of his disciples eating with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So I lived in Minnesota for almost 30 years, and while I was up there, Labor Day was always argued about. It was argued about because the legislature of the state of Minnesota was constantly trying to decide whether Labor Day should be the benchmark of when school started or not. In the time I lived up there, they went back and forth and they changed their minds and they changed their laws. It became very confusing for schools. Sometimes they wanted schools to start after Labor Day. As it is this year, I found out, they made a law that schools couldn't start till after Labor Day. But then people would complain and schools would complain because school would go into June, and sometimes it would go later into June because they had something up there called snow days, Minnesota. And so they wanted school to start earlier. But there was a big, big problem with school starting earlier than Labor Day because they had the state fair going on the end of August. So what would happen if school started early? About 3/4 of all the students were either at the state fair visiting or showing something. And so half the kids, or 3/4 of the kids, weren't even in school at all those days. And some of the teachers weren't either. So Labor Day probably will continue to be a point of contention with them. And when I think of Labor Day, that's what I think of, because that was always the talk in Minnesota about whether schools were starting before or after Labor Day. I grew up in the 1960s as a kid, in the 70s. And as far as traditions and doing things old-fashioned ways, well, if any of you know anything about the 60s or 70s, we had no regard, children didn't, or kids, for any of the traditions that I'll say old people did. People over 30. If they wanted us to do it, we wanted to do the opposite. If they wanted us to have short hair, well, you know what we wanted. Us boys, anyway. Traditions were always being thrust on us by the generations, no less than my grandma and grandpa. And so I'm just going to tell you about one of the things that I got into with my grandma and grandpa all the time. I had a terrible habit of not taking my cap off when I came in the house. First time my grandma got close enough to me, she would grab that thing off my head and lecture me about not wearing my hat in the house. And she would say, "I've told you this 1,000 times." And she was right. She probably had told me that 1,000 times. And I'd still walk in with my hat on. But as I got older, I would stay away from Grandma so she couldn't get to my hat. But she would still yell at me. And I'd be like, "What's the big deal?" She'd say, "It's not respectful," she would say, "to wear your hat in the house." Well, eventually, I got that way, and I brought my kids up that way. And as most of you know, I spent some time working at St. Paul Lutheran High School. And I chase kids around with caps on their heads all the time. I'm kind of happy none of you are wearing caps right now. I'd have to come out there and take them off your head. Why don't wear a hat in the house? What's the matter with that? Well, there's nothing really the matter with it, but it's simply, if it's disrespectful to someone, to anyone, then you don't want to do it. And so we go to the disciples in Jesus' day. They had a lot of statutes and traditions. We read about them in Deuteronomy and the Old Testament lesson. If you were paying attention to the psalm that we read together, we love God's statutes. We love his laws. We love his rules because his rules point us to the God who loves us. And that gets us to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious leaders, who saw the disciples go to a meal, and they hadn't properly washed their hands. Now, hand washing isn't the same exactly as wearing a cap on your head. We obviously want to teach each other to wash our hands. It's an act of cleanliness. And so the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they said, "Your disciples didn't wash their hands properly before the meal." And Jesus said, "Oh my goodness, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? They'll have some kind of bacteria on their fingers, and they'll eat something, and they'll get sick." I like Jesus talked to his disciples. He goes, "Well, what is this all about?" He goes, "Well, you know, if you don't wash your hands and you eat something and you get sick, it's going to be expelled eventually," Jesus said. It's not going to kill you most of the time. Why do they want to wash their hands? Why did they have a ceremony for washing their hands and washing their things? Well, it was to keep things clean, but it was also a reminder to them of the God who loved them and the God who wanted to forgive their sins and the God who would do something for them. It pointed ahead to the Savior. What Jesus said was, when you get so worried that your traditions have to be followed just for the sake of doing the traditions and you forget why you do them, then they're not worth anything anymore. Pharisees didn't like that very much. Jesus was talking to his disciples in our gospel lesson for today, and he said, it's more important for you to understand why you do the traditions than that you actually do them all the time. If you forget to wash your hands, if you forget to take your hat off in the house, it's not the end of the world, but it's important that you understand why you're doing them. And if you forget why you're doing them and you're not doing them out of joy and for the right reason, then the traditions aren't worth anything anymore. So the Pharisees came to Jesus. They acted like they were very concerned about what the disciples were doing. They weren't really concerned about what the disciples were doing. They just wanted to pick an argument or a fight with Jesus. I think of it a little bit like the guys in the office who suddenly became very concerned about this young man in their office whose wife was going to have a baby. They'd ask about him every day. The guy thought that they were really caring about him. They'd say, "How's your wife doing? Is she getting along okay? How far along is she?" Every day they would show this great concern for this young man in the office. And he felt very close to these guys until he found out that the reason they were concerned is they had an office pool going about when the baby was going to be born. They didn't really care so much about his wife. They only cared about when the baby would be born and who would win the pool. Jesus told these Pharisees, "You don't care if my disciples get sick or not. You don't care if they're washing their hands. You don't care if they're healthy. All you care about is picking an argument with me. And what I'm going to tell you is, you can do anything you want. It doesn't make any difference. The things you do have to point to the Savior, have to point to who God is. That's what the Old Testament did. And in fact, Jesus told the Pharisees, ultimately, it will point to me." We do all kinds of things as traditions here. We might not be as traditional as we were back when I was a kid. So some of you know that when I was a kid and came to church, the pastor would stand up here, he'd look out over, and every woman had on a hat. My goodness, if you were a woman and you were in here without a hat, they would have probably kicked you out of church. Now, when I was growing up, every woman in the church also had a fan with a stick, and they were furiously fanning themselves. And the men all had their hats lined up outside where they would put them, and when they would go out, they would have their hats. And so there were traditions that we had in our church back then. I have to tell you, some of those traditions change, because I don't see any woman in here with a hat today. And you know what? It's okay. Maybe they'll come back. Maybe all the women will be wearing hats someday. But if we do, and if we have traditions, they have to point to Jesus. Pastors traditionally wear some kind of vestments or robes, as I'm wearing, and a shirt with a white spot that reminds us that we're redeemed by Jesus Christ. What if I was up here in jeans and a t-shirt and I wasn't up here in the pulpit? Would that be okay? Well, it would be, as long as we're not trying to be disrespectful about it. Maybe someday we'll get to that point. I'd be a lot happier. I just got to tell you. I'd be a lot happier up here with jeans and a t-shirt than I would wearing this. And pastors preach from a pulpit. It's a symbol that this is a place where God's word is being spoken to you, where God himself is telling you something about his word. It's a tradition. It's fine if it reminds us of the right things, but they're just traditions. And that's what Jesus was pointing out to his disciples and to us today. That we can't focus so much on all the things we do and our traditions, because it's not our traditions and the things we do that make us right anyway. It's what Jesus has done for us. We can do all the wrong things, and God still gives us his grace and his mercy. As the Apostle Paul said, we are covered with the armor of Christ's life, with the armor of truth, with the truth that Jesus is our Savior, with the breastplate of righteousness, that I'm right because God makes me right, not because I keep all the traditions or I forget to take my hat off when I come in the room or I don't stand a certain way or any of the traditions that we have. We do things. We do things in our church, in our families, our community, and in our Christian world because they point us to Jesus Christ. If we're pointing to Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. Jesus says to you today, listen, everyone, understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Jesus is saying, don't worry so much about whether you are doing all the right things every single day, because you're not. We are sinners who fall short of the glory of God. But what comes out of us should be the praise and thanksgiving of Jesus Christ. And if there was a young man today sitting in this church with a cap on, singing at the top of his lungs and singing glory to God, guess what? God would be accepting his great and glorious thanksgiving even if he had a hat on. And God tells you this day, you're in church, we're obeying a lot of traditions here in this Christian community and in our families. And traditions are great, but every single thing we do is to point us to Jesus Christ and to give us the forgiveness that only comes from him. And as we celebrate that this day, God tells us, you're free to practice all the traditions you want, as long as you know that they are to point you to me and to the resurrection and life, and point others to the only true God we have, the God who makes himself known to us in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we join together in collecting our offerings and giving those to God, and we sing hymn number 789. stand as we join our hearts and our voices. Heavenly Father, point us to Jesus in all that we say and do. In every tradition and ceremony and practice of this church, in our personal life, direct us to Jesus, who has set us free to be your children both now and forever. As we fold our hands and bow our heads, as we step forward to your table this day, we are worthy to be here, not because we are folding and bowing and stepping, but you are reminding us of what you have done through your son Jesus that is most important. And so we thank you for your grace and mercy and for the wonderful traditions that we celebrate in this church. On this Labor Day weekend, we give thanks for the work and purpose you give, the opportunities to serve you and one another, and the blessing of freedom and vocation we have in our country and our communities. Bless our work and also our rest, we pray. Remind us that all we do is a gift from you and a chance to point others to Jesus as our God and Savior. We give thanks with Kevin and Brenda Wolf as they celebrate 39 years of marriage. Let their faithfulness be a reminder of your commitment to us and your unfailing love. Continue to be with them in the days and years you give, and remember that every day and year we have is from your hand. We offer our prayers for the family of Don and Beverly Borgeson, who lost a son this past week. As he's laid into your eternal hands, we pray that the life he left with his family and friends was a blessing to all he was with. And in death, people will be directed to the Lord and Savior who offers resurrection and life. Be with Nancy McCage as she recuperates and undergoes therapy in the coming weeks, and bring her home soon and return her to health according to your good graces. Continue to be with Norma Gleski as she recovers and gives to all who are going through difficulties the peace of knowing you will guide and guard our bodies and souls in all things. For these and for all others, we ask you now to hear us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we continue our worship with the service of the sacrament on page 194 in our hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We stand for our canticle of praise on page 199. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we close with hymn number 621. You may be seated.